2 Chronicles, chapter 1. Solomon, son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and Yahweh his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of thousands and hundreds, to the judges and the princes. Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tent of meeting of God, which Moses the servant of Yahweh had made in the wilderness. But David had brought the ark of God up from Kiriath-Jearim to the place that David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the bronze altar that Bezalel had made was there before the tabernacle of Yahweh, and Solomon and the assembly were seeking advice there. Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before Yahweh, which was at the tent of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Well, what are we to make of that? When David sinned with Bathsheba, when he took Uriah's wife and then had Uriah killed and did all the lying and all the bad things that David did, and he was really guilty of death, and God forgave him, David said, "You don't want sacrifices. What you want is a broken and a humble heart." And God is not well pleased, David said, with thousands of sacrifices and rivers of blood. So Solomon hadn't learnt that, and that's the difference between Solomon and his father David, that Solomon didn't have that humility. He hadn't gone through the things that David had been through. He'd had a soft life because he was the son of the great king and the favourite son as well of David, it's quite clear. And he also wasn't honest about his own sins. He couldn't admit he'd sinned. So he didn't know that wonderful feeling that you have when you sin and then you ask God to forgive you and you know that it's all okay now. Ooh, and you love God and you feel so close to God. But if you're proud and you won't admit your sins, you won't admit to God you've done anything wrong, you won't know that feeling. So I think that that's why he offers 1,000 animals, which is not at all what God wanted. So in that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." It's not everybody who has God saying to you, "What would you like? I give it to you." Solomon said to God, "You've shown great grace to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Yahweh God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who can judge this your people that is so great?" So he asks for wisdom, and in one sense that was good. But David, his father, had told Solomon to be wise. And he so loved his father that he just wanted to copy his father. And it's what's called parental expectation. So many times, hundreds of times in the Bible record, Solomon talks about my father David, David my father. And clearly he wanted to be the kind of ruler that David hoped that Solomon would be. And whilst on one hand that's good to go in the way that your father wants for you, in another sense, every man must cut his own path through the jungle. In other words, we've got to become individuals and stand independently before God and Jesus, because our fathers or our mothers or whatever, family and friends, are not going to stand there at the day of judgment and have a word with Jesus and say, "Oh yeah, let him in. He's a friend of mine. He's my brother. He's my son." It's all about a personal relationship with God and Jesus. And all parents can do is to put their children on the right path, but the children have to walk on it. And so when Solomon asks for wisdom, yes, this was good, but I think he was also trying to just do and be what his father wanted him to be, because he's given all this wisdom and he writes it down in the book of Proverbs. But when you compare what he writes in the book of Proverbs with his life, he totally doesn't follow his own wisdom. He says, for example, "Keep away from Gentile women, they'll lead you astray." And he marries like hundreds of them, and they do turn his heart away from God. He warns his son, "Don't do this, don't do that," but he goes and does it himself. So God then said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches, wealth, or honour, nor the life of those who hate you, neither yet have asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge is given to you. I will give you riches, wealth, and honour, such as none of the kings have had, who have been before you, neither shall there any after you have the like. Well, in the end, Solomon's wives turned his heart away from God. It's really sad. But at this point, God is very pleased that Solomon wanted wisdom. And so, because of that, he was given all the other things that a man of his age might have wanted, long life, etc. And it's rather like Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, these other things, will be added unto you. I think he's saying, look, you can all be in Solomon's position. So seek wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom. Pray this in your own prayers. Give me wisdom. And God will, if that's what we want. And James in the New Testament says this, ask wisdom from God. He won't moan at you. He won't be against you. He'll be glad if you ask him to give you wisdom. Put that first, and all the other stuff, as far as it's needed, will be given to us. So Solomon came from the high place that was at Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen that he placed in the chariot cities. Well, in Deuteronomy, God says that, well, if you do have a king, the king must not multiply horses and chariots to himself. Well, that is exactly what Solomon does right at the beginning of his reign. The king made silver and gold to be in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees to be as abundant as the sycamore trees. The horses which Solomon had were brought out of Egypt and from Kew. The king's merchants purchased them from Kew. They brought out of Egypt a chariot for 600 pieces of silver and a horse for 150. They also brought them out for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. Well, Egypt was south of Israel, and Syria and the Hittites were to the north. I think what started with all this was that Solomon and his men bought horses in Egypt and then sold them on to the people in the north. Or they saw these horses being brought out of Egypt and taken up north. So what started as just trading in something, dabbling in something, Solomon became totally addicted to, because he goes on to have thousands of horses, so many that he has to build cities to put them all in. Now, this is really relevant to, for example, someone who thinks, I'll dabble in drugs, I'll just sell a few drugs, I'll just dabble. Of course, I won't become a drug addict, I'll keep away. But no, they get sucked in and they themselves become drug addicts. And this happens so many times to young people, or older people, particularly young people. Keep away from all this dabbling in sin of any sort, because in the end it will stick to you. And if you love God's ways, you won't even want to go that way. And I think that's how Solomon went wrong. He thought, oh, it won't happen to me. But it did. He married Gentile women. When in the wisdom given to him, he was told, don't marry Gentile women, because they'll turn away your heart. And he thinks, yeah, but it won't happen to me. But it did when he was old.